This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أوصيكم وإياي أولا بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون كما أمرنا الله لنا فيقول الله تعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وبعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وأحسن هدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة كل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, all praise due to Allah Rabbul Alamin for His blessing, for His mercy, for His guidance. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep on showering His mercy and forgive all the sins that we have committed. Whether it's a hidden sin, an open sin, minor or major sin, Ameen. Brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, we are aware that there's a lot of activities outside today. It's because we are having our bundle sales day, you know, for the end of the year. But inshallah, may Allah Rabbul Alameen bless those who are outside and bless those who are inside, inshallah. Yeah. Now, there's a lot of thing happening around us. There are a lot of sisters, brothers who are not well, family members, jama'ah who are not well. One of them is Rafi'a Maqbool, daughter of Dr. Maqbool, who is not here with us. Sister Nilofa, yeah, who also have just had a surgery. We have Mariani, yeah, and her family. We have also Sister Zubaydah Abdul Qadir, yeah, wife Brother Abdul Aziz. We have Brother Hisham, yeah, the brother of Sister Zarina. And may Allah Rabbul Alameen give them the inner peace to face all the trial from Allah Rabbul Alameen. And the Prophet ﷺ used to remind his ummah, when we know somebody is not well, if possible, we visit them. But if not, at least we say some prayer for all of them. One of the prayer that is recommended for us to recite, such as La Baqsa Tahur Insha'Allah. One of them. Yeah? And then also we can ask Allah through some other prayers. Allahumma anna أسأل الله العظيم رب العرش العظيم أن يشفيهم. And also we can make dua, اللهم رب الناس أذهب البأس واشفي أنت الشافع لا شفاء إلا شفاءك شفاء لا يغادر سقما. All this dua is we are seeking Allah رب العالمين, the supreme Lord of the magnificent throne, to cure all of that. And may Allah purify their sin, inshaAllah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cure them with the will of Allah Rabbul Alameen. Brothers and sisters, we know that sickness is part of Allah's test to every one of us. None of us were healthy today, want to fall sick. None of us. We do not want to be sick, we want to be healthy. But Allah Rabbul Alameen Almighty will test every one of us. Our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam remind his ummah, if there's any musibah, yeah, any musibah that happened to us, try to reflect. the greatest musibah that have ever happened to mankind is the death of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet passed away, it's like we lost a guidance. We lost somebody who cared for us, who always pray for us, who is so concerned about our welfare. Not only our life here, who is very concerned about our life in the hereafter. And he always pray for his ummah. We hope that we always remember our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also, brothers and sisters, when there is a fitan, affliction, musibah, the most important thing that I like to share with all of you is one of the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number one, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remind us about what Allah remind him through the hadith al-Qudsi. Not just a normal saying of the Prophet, but this is from Allah, that Allah direct his revelation to him without going through angel Gabriel. I have mentioned this hadith many times, but we have been moving from one book to other books. We may have forgotten this hadith. I like to recall this hadith again. Abu Hurairah, one of the companions of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah Almighty revealed to him by saying, "Inna Allah Ta'ala yaqulu yawm al-qiyamah, yabna Adam marittu falam ta'udni. Qala ya Rabb kayfa a'uduka wa anta rabbul alamin. Qala ama alimta anna abdi fulan marida falam ta'udhu. Ama alimta annaka law uttahu lawajadtani indah. Ya ibn Adam istad'amtuka falam tad'imni. Falam tad'imni qala ya Rabb kayfa ut'imuka wa anta rabbul alamin. Qala amma alimta annahu istad'amak. Abdi fulan falam tud'imhu. Amma alimta annaka law ad'amtahu lawajadta zalika indi. Ya ibn Adam staqaystuka falam tasqini. Qala ya Rabb kayfa asqiq wa anta rabbul alamin. Qala istasqaq abdin fulan falam tasqih. Ama alimta annaka lasqaytahu lawajadta zalika indi. The meaning of the saying of Allah, indeed on the day of judgment, yawm al-qiyamah, Walaikum salam rahmatullah, Allah will talk to us directly. He is going to communicate with us and ask us, O children of Adam. We are talking about the messengers. Now let us look into what Allah will ask us in the day of judgment. O children of Adam, I was sick, but you did not visit me. I was sick, but you did not visit me. We, as the humble servant of Allah, will reply, how would I visit you, Allah, when you are the Lord of all things, Rabbul Alamin? How can we visit you? Allah will answer, don't you recall that my servant so and so was sick, but you did not visit him? Indeed, had you visited him, you would have found me there. Visiting the sick is like visiting Allah, Rabbul Alam. Telling us that Allah is very close to those who are sick. Because people who are sick always remember Allah more. People who are healthy like us, we remember a lot of other things. Then Allah will continue to ask us, O son of Adam, I asked you for food, but you refused to feed me. Then we will reply, how would I feed you when you are the Lord of Al-Alamin? You are the Creator. Then Allah will answer, don't you recall that my servant so and so asked you for food, but you refused to feed him? Indeed, had you fed him, you would have found the reward with me. That means, like you are feeding Allah Rabbul Alamin. But Allah don't need, He don't eat, He don't drink like us. Allah is here to tell us how close He, Allah, is with this group of people. Those who are very weak, who are not well, those who are poor, who don't have the means to survive. And also Allah will then continue, O son of Adam, I ask you for drink, but you refuse to give it to me. We will reply, how could I give you a drink, O Allah, when you are Rabbul Alameen? Allah will answer, don't you recall that my servant so and so asked you for a drink, but you refused to give it to him? Indeed, had you given it to him, you would have found the reward with me. Now, Allah is now telling us, don't look down upon people who are helpless. People who are weak, they need your help. And whoever responds to the call, they are responding to Allah's call. We know, brothers and sisters, those who are not well, we cannot force them to accept guests because they need rest. But at least you show your concern, call up the family members, tell them we will pray for so and so. At least you say something. Some beautiful saying do help those who are in need. Just show them that we do care, we remember them. Even we are not there for them, but we do remember them. It's just like how important for children to call their parents. They are grown up children, very independent, they are working, they have their own income and everything. How important for the children to call their parents just to show to their parents that we remember you, Dad, and we remember you, Ma. How do you feel, brother and sister, who are father and mother, if your children just give you a call? Do you feel good? Do you feel happy? So relaxed, mashallah. But normally we remember them. We remember them so much to the extent that we do not want to disturb them. We leave it to them with their wisdom. When they are free, they can call us. Alhamdulillah. If not, we will keep on praying for their safety. That is what the parents always feel for their children. If we don't have this feeling, we have some problem. Yeah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did mention, one day when he was mingling with the young children, one of the Sahaba came to the Prophet and said, no, I have many children, none of them that I hold them, kiss them, yeah, I touch them, none of them. Very tough father, you know. I'm a father, you know. No weakness, you see that I'm a very tough man. So the Prophet said, whoever don't show mercy to Allah's creation, then the one in the heaven will not shower his mercy. So strength is not because of how strong you are, how tough you are, but how kind you are and how humble you are. And that is our strength. So don't misinterpret strength, power, but you must understand how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all powerful, shower His mercy and how forgiving Allah to all of us. Allah Rabbul Alameen. Brothers and sisters, we are talking about children of Adam. And today we are going to come back to the book, Counting Our Prophets. Alhamdulillah, the Prophet did mention about how many numbers of prophets and messengers, but we don't have to remember all of them. This is also a blessing if Allah said you must remember all the name of the Prophet, if not you cannot be a true believer, we have problem. But only what Allah and the Prophet want us to know is to believe that there is prophets and messenger. You remember the ayah that Allah said, "Amantu billahi wa rasulihi wa rusulihi." Believe in Allah and his prophets. But Allah never mentioned to us that how many prophets you must believe in. As long as you believe that there is prophets and messengers, alhamdulillah. There's one of the article of faith. Now let us go through this book, page 15. The first and the last. The beginning and the end. The beginning is important, but the end is very, very important. The ending is always more important than the beginning. In whatever we do in life, what really counts is the ending, not the beginning. The beginning, you may have problem here and there. You may have some weaknesses here and there. But the end product is what confirms the value of what we have offered. The first prophet, all of us as Muslims, and the people of the book involved, the Yahud and Nasara, will all agree upon. None of us disagreed about the first prophet. None but Adam alayhi salam is the first man. Allah created him with his hands. Now I use the word hand because Allah used the word yet. If you do not want to use this word hand, then you use the word yet. Some people are sensitive when you translate the Arabic word to other language. So they say yet is qudra, power. We say power, there's another word that Allah used, qudra, qadir. But since they have problem, okay, we all have no problem. Let us agree to mention the word yet. That's all. And from Adam's rib, Allah created his wife, Hawa. Now when you look at this arrangement of Allah, means Hawa also came from Adam. Allah did not create Adam by himself, by itself, and then Eve by itself, but Eve was created through Adam. So none of us can consider we are a complete person until you are together. And that's why the completion of the deen in Islam is when we settle down as husband and wife. When you are just solo all the way, then you have only half of your deen. Half of your deen. When you are settled down, you have completed your deen. Abu Zar al-Ghifari is one of the companions, and not only him, and also other companions. Aswad, one of the name of the Sahaba, have a nickname Aswad. He had followed all the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from eating, drinking, dressing, wearing sandals, everything, whatever the Prophet chose to wear, he also chose to to wear the same thing. He loved the Prophet so much. But the only thing that is lacking, he's solo. The Prophet have wife. He is solo not because he refused to get married. People just don't get attracted to him. Number one, because of his color. He is a very dark skin. And also, his look. He don't look attractive at all. You know, sometimes when a person don't look attractive, you also know where you stand now. Your hope is no more there. Maybe a blind woman will love you, because the blind woman can't see how you look. But anyhow, this is the only thing that he cannot fulfill yet, because nobody want him. Then the Prophet asked him one day, that I found that you have done the dialogue to the Prophet, in brief, that you have followed all my sunnah except one. Because nikah also is one of the highly recommended sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To the extent that he said, "Anikah sunnati, faman ragiba an sunnati falaysa minni." Whoever refused anti-marriage, he's not one of my ummah. Then the Prophet said, first thing, you must have intention. Anything you want to do, brother and sister, the first, you have the niyat. Then you plan. How can he plan? He know that his plan will fail. But the Prophet recommend him to go to look for the daughter of somebody. So he went, he followed the instruction of the Prophet. But he have all this mindset. I will go, but I know my wish will be rejected. He went, and of course, when people look at him, say, but they are very, mashallah. The companion, when they talk among each other, they honor each other. They respect each other. They are very careful with words. We are not careful with word today. Very careful word. He came to the Sahaba's home and give salam. And then he said, the Prophet convey his salam to you. The Prophet send me to you. Because a companion, if you know that Prophet send somebody to them, must be very, very important and something very respectful for them. Immediately he invite him in, call his daughter to serve some food and some drink. Suddenly the daughter who was serving is not just any woman, is beautiful lady. The minute he glanced the beauty of this girl, 100% confirmed, my wish will not be accepted. If the girl also just like him, maybe, or handicapped, maybe such a beautiful lady. But because the Prophet called him to go, so he went and said, what is any message from the Prophet to me? He said, yes, the Prophet called me to ask for the hand of your daughter. That changed the whole look of this man. From so happy, smiling, he got tongue-tied, don't know what to say. But this sent by Prophet Muhammad. No, he now said, look at yourself first, no? How can you dare to come and ask in the hand of my daughter? But he was very wise. He said, let me check with my daughter. So he went in and discussed with the daughter. Allahu Akbar. The woman before is not like the woman today. They are very obedient, very faithful, and they say to their father, I leave it to you, O father. Neither she want to make any comment. How can you marry me to this kind of person? Do you know his background? And so and so and so. She She just leave it to the father, and the father used his word of wisdom, came up and said to the guy, please send my salam to the prophet and tell him that my daughter don't have the intention yet. My daughter don't have the intention to settle down yet. It's not like my daughter said no to him. No, no. Before he wanted to say this, this man, he know the answer already. You know? No problem. He's ready for that. He said, no problem. Then he left. Alhamdulillah, he conveyed the message to the prophet. After some time, the prophet command him to go the second time. Now, the second time, he got the answer earlier that the daughter have no intention yet. Now, the prophet said to him, call the daughter to make her intention now. Make up her mind now. Allahu Akbar. Now, this man, for him to go again, of course, because the prophet said go, he went. Very faithful servant of Allah and very obedient to the prophet's command. But he also aware that I don't think they are going to respond positively. But the second time, the way this the father received the guest is different now. Assalamualaikum, waalaikum salam. No more welcome in first from outside. Yes, anything? Now the daughter, Allahu Akbar, the daughter was so, I would say, so righteous. You know? He said, father, do you know this is our guest? And he was sent by the messenger of Allah. Welcome him in. Let me serve him again. It happened, alhamdulillah. You know, sometimes the daughter can advise the father. Father sometimes has his own value, but when you feel that something is not right, you have the right to remind the father. So the father accept, and this time, when he discussed with the daughter said, father, this is the man that the messenger of Allah chose for me. This might be the best man. He may look not attractive at all, but he was chosen by the messenger of Allah. I am ready. Now the father had problem. How to convey this message? He was trying to find another way to say so that it don't hurt the feeling of this man. Neither he can reject the wish of the daughter. So there's nothing that he can do. He said, convey my salam to the father. He said, we accept. Alhamdulillah. But with the will of Allah, when they were on the way for the nikah, there was a call from the battlefield that they need reinforcement. And then he informed his group, proceed. And he just went forward and informed them, I have to excuse myself first. There is SOS from the battlefield. They need reinforcement now. But some of the goods, all the gift is on the way. So this lady said to him, let me prepare something for you. So she prepared some drink, some food, and said to this man, I wish you the best. I will wait for you. And he went. And he was in the battlefield, fighting, mashallah. And suddenly he was killed. So the news came back. How do you feel? Now we are planning to get married. See, the call of Allah is so important. When Allah calls, they will respond. But what this woman asked from the Prophet, allow me to serve in the next battlefield. That's all. She accepted what has been fated. So, the next battlefield took place. She was called to serve the wounded. And she was killed also in that battlefield. Is that a good ending? Yeah, beautiful ending. Allah is sure to unite both of them in Yawmul Qiyamah. For both of them are in love for the sake of Allah. No, they prepare to settle down for the sake of Allah. And the Prophet did say, you will be with whom you love in the day of judgment. Yeah? This is the story. Beautiful story. But the ending to us is not that beautiful. But beautiful for the believers. Adam and Eve, Romeo and Juliet. And from the two of them, Allah taqdeer all people descended. So Adam is the great grandfather of every one of us. And that's why we Muslims cannot look down upon another race, another person, because we are like one big family. Whether you are Chinese, you are white, black, African, Asian, we are all one big family. If you go back to DNA, we all came from one. We'll be surprised to know that somewhere our father was linked with the Mongolian. Somewhere our father was linked to some African country. So we are just one family. Alhamdulillah, nobody checked our DNA. If everybody will check their DNA, you don't like the Chinese so much. Suddenly, ada some Chinese blood here. So don't be too proud of who you are. We are all like one big family. In the ancient times, the people used to be huge in size. And they live much longer than all of us now. Our Prophet, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, tells us that Adam lived for 960 years. And Noah lived close to 1,000 years as well. Now 960 years of Adam, actually Adam was given the lifetime for 1,000 years. Allah ordained him for 1,000 years. Then Allah represented to Adam all the other prophets. He saw them. Yeah, Allah have planned everything for us. Who is the beginning, who is the end? Allah have planned everything. So he presented to Adam, and Adam was attracted to one. That is Prophet Dawud alayhi salam. And he asked the angel how long he is going to live. He said, very short. Not even 100 years. So Adam said, I like to offer 40 years of my life to him. So the angel brought it to Allah, and Allah kabul, accept. So when 960 years, when Adam reached 960, the angel of death came to him. And then he said, you remember 1,000, now 160, and you come to me and tell me this time I still have 40. Yeah, Allah have ordained you want, but you ask Allah to offer 40 years of your life to David, and Allah have kabul. So Adam, being human, he forgot. We human have that weaknesses, and that's why we were called insan, from the root words of nasiya. We are forgetful people. So when we forgot, one thing that is not good, we deny. No, I did not say that. We always do that. And that's why until today we have that problem. You promise, no, I never promise it, because you forgot. Anyhow, that's how it ends the story of Adam. Adam was a very tall man, a giant by today's standards. Abu Huraira reported that our Prophet said, خَلَقَ اللَّهُ آدَمْ عَلَى صُورَتِهِ وَطُولُهُ سِتُّونَ زِرَاءً فَلَمْ تَزِلْ خَلْقُ تَنْقِسُ بَعْضُهُ حَتَّى الْآنِ. Allah created Adam according to his image. Now this is where a lot of Muslims have problem today. And even the people of the book have this same problem. He said, God is in every one of us. If you talk to our Christian patron, people of the book, he said, God is in all of us. By looking at each other, you are looking at the image of God. God can look like this and like that and like everyone, because He is the Almighty, all-powerful. He can do anything He likes. And that's why some people will say, even among Muslims, have you seen God? No, then you are blind. Who are you worshipping if you don't see God? And what are you doing? What are you making ruku and sujood? For who? You are worshipping shadows? They said, do you see me? Of course we say, I see you. Then you see God. Based on the hadith, they said, Allah created Adam with the image of Allah. Allah never said that. The Prophet never related that the image is the image of God, the image of Adam, alayhi salam. And he was 60 arms span tall. After him, the Prophet said, the size of people continue to shrink until today. From 60 arm length today, tallest, how tall are we today, the tallest? 10 feet? Huh? Yeah, the basketball, Chinese man, maybe say you give 10, we give extra 10 feet. So far, yeah, but size of Adam, Allahu Akbar. An arm span is a distance from a man's elbow to his fingers tip. It is about 2 feet or 60 centimeters. Yeah? So Adam was about 120 feet or 40 meters tall. That is the size of our great-great-grandfather. Now some people are not sure if Adam was a prophet or not. But our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us that Adam was a prophet. Now we cannot say that this man is a prophet until there is some evidence from the Quran or the saying of the Prophet. There are many prophets, but we cannot confirm their names because it was not in the Quran and Sunnah. But the one that is in the Quran and Sunnah, we cannot deny. Yeah? We have to accept. Our Prophet, and even Allah in the Quran told us about Adam, and the Prophet tells us that Adam was a prophet and the first prophet. Now let us look into this hadith. Abu Umama radiallahu anhu reported that a man asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "O Allah's Messenger, was Adam a prophet?" It's a very, very good question. Yeah? The Prophet replied, "Kana Adam nabiyan wa mukallama." Adam was a prophet, so nobody can dispute about the prophethood of Adam, spoken to him is Allah Rabbul Alamin. Allah communicate with Adam alayhi salam. Wa kana baynahu wa bayna Nuh ashratu qurun. Between him and Noah were 10 centuries. 10 centuries meaning to our calculation, how many years? Yeah? 1,000 years, yeah. Because one qurun, 1 century is 100 years. And the messengers, wa kana rusul salatuna mi'atin wa khamsatul ashar. How many prophets in this hadith never mentioned? How many messengers in this hadith the prophet said 315 in number? 315 messengers. Every messenger is a prophet. Not all prophet is a messenger. Like Adam is a prophet, but he was not named as a messenger. A messenger is a prophet who have a mission and who have followers. Adam have no followers, he only have his own offspring, his children. Why we say that? It's not that we decide what we want to call Adam, whether he's a prophet or messenger or not. Prophet say he was a prophet, then we say he was a prophet. Well, Adam was the first prophet. Noah, who came 1,000 years after him, was the first messenger. Anas reported that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Awwalu nabiyyin ursila Nuh." The first prophet who was sent as a messenger was Noah alayhi salam. That's why Noah was known as the second Adam by the people of the book. Adam is known as the first Adam, the father of mankind, the father of human being. Noah was known as the father of nation and tribes, because in the time of Noah, Allah qadar ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila. We make you into nation and tribes. It happened only in the time of Noah. But not for you to humiliate each other, look down upon each other, belittle each other. No. Allah said, we decided to make you into nations and tribes, لِتَعَارَفُ, purely for you to get to know each other, complement each other, help each other, getting to know each other. Now we fail to even open our mind to want to know one another. Example, living in this country, Malaysia, a country that we gained independence through 3 companies known as MIC, Malay, Indian and Chinese. That's how we gained independence. A combination of Malay, Indian and Chinese. Until today, alhamdulillah, we have all this group of people around us, whether you like it or not. You never come across any time in your life, brother and sister, you walk into the mall, shopping mall or supermarket or night market, you only see Malays all the way. Neither you only see Chinese all the way, or Indian all the way. To the extent, when we celebrate our festival, when the typhoon, you also find Malay and Chinese. Because sometimes we get confused. Even now you celebrate Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, Adha, when you have open house, everybody come. And the beauty of this kind of integration is that expose us to the different type of foods. We do enjoy, yeah, mama food, alhamdulillah, nasi kandar, lying clear, alhamdulillah, you know. And we also like, you know, Chinese seafood restaurant. I mean, sometimes we like mi bandung, mi jawa, and all this kind of different tastes, alhamdulillah. It's a ni'mah. It's really a ni'mah. There is the purpose. Then Allah make us different so that we get to know each other. But now, thing is getting worse. We Muslim cannot represent race. We can't. Because the Prophet said, "Man da'a ila asabiyya wa qatala ala asabiyya famat famaitahu maitatan jahiliyah." Whoever called to racism, tribalism, and they fight based on race, and they die, they will never die as a Muslim. They will die like a pagan, jahiliyah. Because that is what happened before Islam. Everybody is fighting for their race, for their tribe. I'm better than you because I'm from this tribe. Then Islam came and abolished all this kind of barren, make us one nation. Ummatan wahida. That all of us are children of Adam, and all Muslims are brothers and sisters. And we are here to represent humanity, not a race. But lately, we experience again that we Muslims always create this racist kind of sentiment again. So far, the not yet Muslims don't use that approach. But we are using that sentiment again. And it is very dangerous. Because that is the sign that we are going backward. We are not going forward. We are going backward to the time of Jahiliyyah. Islam was so beautiful. It catered for everybody. But the way we are talking about Islam, that Islam belong to us. When you are a different color, you are not one of us. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. If you compare the Chinese Muslim with the whole population of Malaysia, they are more than the whole population of Malaysia. But the way we are talking about Islam today, we misrepresent Islam to other people. Our Prophet was sent rahmatulil alamin to the world, not only to a race, to bring mercy, blessing, to unite all of us to become one family. Allahu Akbar. Now we live like enemies. Just because of your color, because of your race, because of your name. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. May Allah protect us and our children from this great fitan. We cannot support this kind of struggle and call. If you get involved, brother and sister, you will be in the same hadith of the Prophet, "Man da'a ila asabiyyah wa qatala ala asabiyyatin famat famaitahu maitatan jahiliyah." If you die while doing that, while you are struggling and calling towards that, then you will end your life as a pagan, a jahiliyah. Where Allah always remind us, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Make sure that you will never die until you have submit yourself to Allah's rule. You follow Allah's religion, don't follow your race, your emotion, your nafs. Follow Allah's ruling. So we are here to represent everyone. The beauty of Islam is a Muslim, when you're talking about something, they are representing humanity. We as human. We, example, if you talk about Malaysia. Are we Malaysian? Are we Malaysian, brother and sister? Some said yes, some knows no words, maybe you are not sure. Of course, we are all, inshallah, Malaysian. So you want to talk about Islam, you are welcome, of course, as a Muslim, you talk about Islam. Islam and we Malaysian. Beautiful. Islam and we Malaysian, that means you are representing everyone in this country. That is beautiful. We do not want a Chinese Muslim to say, Islam and Chinese Muslim. Only Chinese Muslim you are talking about. Other are not Muslim. Islam, Indian Muslim. Only Indian Muslim you are talking. How the Chinese Muslim? I don't know. And continue the others, inshallah. So what is important, brothers and sisters, we should have this understanding. We all came from Adam. So we are children of Adam, so we are a big family. The difference in us now because of the color, the race, the size. But who make this difference? You choose? I choose? Did I choose to be a Chinese? I don't choose. Allah decided. He said, be and is be. But alhamdulillah, we are all one big family. That is more important than your name, your race. Yeah? You know that you are from one source, from Adam and Eve. Can we learn how to live together as one family, brother and sister? And that's why anybody who want to come to Islam, we always remind them to talk to their family. Because whether the family like it or not, they are still their family. Islam is not here to cut off that relationship, no. Islam is here to strengthen the family ties. But you must have that knowledge, that understanding. But sometimes people just do not want their children to be a Muslim in this country. Because of what? Because of race. It's not because of the religion. This one thing that I like to share with all the good brothers and sisters who have been attending class. If you really check through why that the not yet Muslim family always stop their children from becoming a Muslim, is because they hate not the religion, it's the people. Because we have misrepresent the beautiful teaching of Islam, that Islam is for all. We talk like Islam belongs to a particular race. That is our problem. We have to make that changes. Alhamdulillah, I've seen through what is happening around us in Malaysia. We are more open-minded than other nations. Alhamdulillah. We don't mind our children, get married with other race. Alhamdulillah, that is good. Some people are still very, very particular, especially who? The Yahud. The Yahud do not allow their children to marry except another Yahud. Because they consider themselves as children of God, they are the supreme among all the other nations. Where Islam, Allahu Akbar, is here to remind us that Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The best among all of you in the sight of Allah is not your race, is not your color, is not your name, but those who are more piety to Allah, faithful to Allah. That is the beauty of Islam. That Islam is here to unite everybody back into one family. Not to break us again. It's here to unite. That's how we people who understand Islam based on the book of Allah, the Quran and Sunnah, must present Islam for everybody. Even we are, there are people who are not yet Muslim, but Islam is also for them. We just came back from the World Halal Council Assembly in Japan. Because Japan, today, the Japanese are more open to accept, to cater for Muslims. They want to have a good relation with Muslims. And one of the best way to have a good relation with each other, you must always eat. You must have a common ground to eat. When you can eat together in one place, you can see, you know, you can get closer to each other. Don't underestimate the power of eating. Food have a lot of blessing. When you sit down, you eat, you can smile to each other, alhamdulillah. No, most of us who are able to eat, we still can smile. You know. So far, we never fight while eating. So far, alhamdulillah. Normally, if you don't like a person, I don't think you want to sit on the same table to eat with them. No. Normally, when you can sit down, alhamdulillah. So when about halal food, Allah never said halal only for Muslim. Just an example. Allah said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قُلُوا مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا. O people, eat what is halal that Allah have provided for all of us and good. Allah is calling everyone to eat halal food. So everyone have the right to prepare halal food. Everyone have the right to do halal business, not only Muslim. And that is what the Halal World Halal Council is, to educate the people who are not yet Muslim how to prepare halal food, to make your product halal product so that everybody can eat. Is that a good news?
Alhamdulillah.
So next time everybody want to go to Japan, call us. Because we have collected a lot of information about the halal restaurant. One of it, if you land in Haneda Airport, you get one halal restaurant. In the domestic wing, and also soon in the international wing in Haneda Airport. Yeah. Inshallah. We have collected because there was two expo, one in Chiban and one in Tokyo. Our assembly, my talk was in Chiba. But then we all went down to Tokyo, because we used to give the khutbah in Tokyo mosque. Alhamdulillah, it was very interesting. More people exposed. They have halal makeup, halal nail polishing. Oh, so many things going on there. Very nice. Of course, we don't put our finger there for them. We men have nothing to polish, That normally that is only for the woman. Women like to be very clean, alhamdulillah. But thing is moving forward, alhamdulillah. There is a good sign. But we must have an open mind. We cannot be racist. We cannot just represent our culture. Every culture that do not contradict Islamic principle is considered Islamic culture. Any food that follow the Sharia compliance is considered halal food. Even if it's been prepared by not yet Muslim, the food is halal. Don't worry. You don't need to be a halal man to prepare halal food. No. There is no rule to say food must prepare with halal men, then only halal. No. Then we have more problem. All our handphone is not prepared by halal country. So what are we going to do? You carry your handphone, put in a pocket, and you go to pray. And then now you know this handphone has been touched by thousands of unhalal men. So you must keep on making samak all the way. Money also. We have exchanged from hand to hand, so many times. So alhamdulillah, Allah make it easy. as long as it is Sharia compliance, it's halal. Alhamdulillah. So, brother and sisters in Islam, now we know who is the first prophet and who is the first messenger, and how many messengers that we must believe in numbers. Name, we don't have all their names. In numbers, 315 messengers. The one that Allah mentioned in His book, how many? 25 names only. Alhamdulillah. Even then, we cannot remember. The last thing that I'd like to share with you for today's class is under the subtitle of the last prophet and messenger. Every time when you do anything or when you learn about any matters, you have the beginning and the last. The last prophet and messenger of Allah is our prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why do we say that? Did the prophet himself claim that he was the last messenger? No, it was Allah's qadar. Allah himself said in the Quran, in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 40, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَهَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَبَ النَّبِيِّينَ. Muhammad is not the father of any of the men among you. You cannot claim that, oh, my father is Prophet Muhammad. No, no, no. Now, he is the father of Fatima. Yes. He is known as Abu al-Qasim. He have a son called Qasim. Yes. Ruqayya. Yes. But other than that, no one have the right to claim that I am the son of Prophet Muhammad. No. Neither Hussein and Hassan claim that he was the son of... He said, I am the grandson of Prophet Muhammad. But those who don't have this kind of lineage have no right to claim that they are the son, or the children of Prophet Muhammad. Then Allah said to us, Muhammad is not the father of any of the men among you, but is the messenger of Allah and the seal, last of the prophets. Allah said, Khataman Nabiyin. The same meaning is mentioned in many hadiths. For example, Abu Hurairah reported that the Prophet said about himself, وَقُتِمَا بِي النَّبِيُّونَ. The prophets were sealed or concluded by me. Now, until today, we have one group of Muslims who are very confused about this word, khatam. Until today. We do have some problem, we don't deny. Now you know that there is somebody, some group claim that the last prophet is Mirza Ghulam Ahmad. And they are telling whoever don't accept Mirza Ghulam Ahmad as the last prophet, he will be doomed. He will go to hell. And there are people claiming that now. We know that in the time, at the time of the Prophet, at the time of the Prophet, not at our time, you have Musaylama. And you have other people claim that they are also a prophet, a messenger. Then they are no more a Muslim. Whoever dare to claim that there is a prophet after Muhammad, he is no more a Muslim. Because he rejected the ayat of Allah. When you reject one ayah, you rejected the whole Quran. Quran is not a book for you to choose. What you like, you take up. You pick up. What you don't like, I ignore this. I don't accept. You have no right to do that. Now what makes them confused is the word. See how important to understand a word. They are saying The meaning of Khatam al-Nabiyyin is not the seal of Prophet Muhammad. That Prophet Muhammad is the last and is the one who will seal the prophethood. No. Khatam is his ring. It so happened in Arabic, ring is also called Khatam. There is a movie. All the episode is talking about a ring. What is the movie? The Lord of the Ring. All the shooting, billion of dollars been spent for this kind of movie, yeah, just because of the ring. But very powerful ring. But when the Allah said Khatam an-Nabiyyin, Allah now said, yes, our Prophet do have a ring. And it's written on his ring, Muhammad Rasulullah. So they said, that is what Khatam an-Nabiyyin mean. That means Prophet Muhammad have a seal. But he is not the last messenger. The last one is Mirza Ghulam Ahmad. So you ask them, where is your Dalil? Where is the ayat mentioned Mirza Ghulam Ahmad? Of course they don't have. They have to create another book. You say that ayat talk about Ahmad, but nothing about Mirza. Oh, Mirza is the name of a place. Now you have problem in Indonesia. People are saying that Adam was there. They are talking about name. They say Adam was in Jawa before. Wow. We have Asam Jawa, Mi Jawa. Now they want Adam to be in Jawa. What can we do? Everybody want to claim actually Adam is our father, our great father. But you don't claim. Now the thing that is very clear is Adam's Peak. You know where's Adam's Peak? In Sri Lanka. When I went to Sri Lanka many years ago, people told me about this mountain. There is Adam's footprint. We went up. 11 p.m. we start to walk. Our Qiyamulay is Isra and Mi'raj. We walk all the way from 11 p.m. down, we reach there near to Fajar. Fajar time. And we come to the end, some of us just can't make it because it's so steep. You go this direction now. From here up here, to the end, it go like this. And I did when I'm, alhamdulillah. And now they also want to claim, no, this is the footprint of Gautama Buddha. Everybody want to claim. I say, people just hear it. But there was a so-called hadith. We do not know how authentic. We are still checking. In Safwatun Tafasir, in a book, said that when Allah sent down Adam to this earth because he committed a sin, then they said that Ehbitullahu al-Adam ilal ardihin. Allah sent down Adam to a land called Hind. Hind means Mother India. And Allah allowed Adam to cover his private parts from front and behind by using two leaves from the tree of paradise. And that's why they say India, even how dirty the land of India, how filthy the situation over there. But if you want the best onion, onion from India. You want the best mango? India. You want the best spices in there. Even the people are not so smelly, or they are also, but their food is very, very rich with aroma. You know? That is India. Why? Because of the blessing of these two leaves from paradise. That's what people were discussing based on one hadith, whether it's authentic or not. Is a second thing I just want to share with you about India. India include where? Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, Pakistan, and India today, all is one before. And maybe we also sangkut somewhere around there, also we don't know. Yeah? Anyhow, brothers and sisters, Prophet Muhammad is not the father of any one of us. That's why we cannot call him our father. Even we love him so much, but we must call him Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah, and the sealed last of the prophets. That means there's no one can claim that he or she is a prophet. Yeah, you have people who also claim that she was a prophet in the time of the Prophet Muhammad. Not only one man, Musaylamah, who was in Yemen, but you have other people who also claim that, oh, I'm a prophet. Even a woman claimed she was a prophet. But the Prophet gave a stern warning to everybody. One whoever did that, they have destroyed their iman and they have to repent. But the one who killed Musaylamah is who? Is the one who killed Hamza. The one who killed the person that the Prophet loved so much is the one who killed the person who the Prophet hate the most. And this make the one who killed Hamza feel very, very happy. When he became a Muslim after killing Hamza, he felt so sad because the Prophet called him one day and asked him, how do he kill Hamza? And he explained how he killed him, and he opened up his heart, pulled up his lung, and gave it to Hindun to eat, to bite. Of course, the Prophet just can't accept it. You know, how cruel these people is. We Muslim, if there's any war, you cannot do this to anybody. Okay? So, the Prophet after that do not want to see him anymore. And he was very hurt. Each time if he see him, he will remember how Hamza was killed. But then he felt so bad. But one day he came to know there is a man called Musaylamah who claimed to be a prophet, and he do not want to repent. And then he was allowed to kill. Alhamdulillah, after killing that man, he felt so released. The man that the Prophet loved so much, I was the one who killed. The man, the person who the Prophet hates so much, I was the one who killed. To him, he felt he is well balanced now. Yeah? May Allah protect us from this fitna again. It may come, this fitna of people claim self-prophet, and so it will come. And so may Allah protect us, inshallah. Brothers and sisters, we will continue the other titles in the coming class, but just a humble reminder, we are leaving for Umrah by this coming Tuesday. That means we were not having, I'm not here, the class will be on inshallah, only I won't be around in the next coming Sunday inshallah. If there's any question, now we open for Q&A. Fatafaddal. Fadal. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Naam.
But at that point in time, I was already reading the Quran or making dua. Do I still have to stop and say Sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
Yeah, it's very simple, very short. When you hear the names of the Prophet being mentioned, you just continue by saying Sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then you continue recite the Quran. No problem. No problem. The only thing they are not supposed to do when you are praying, when you're in Salah, somebody is, maybe you are a latecomer, you're making a prayer, and that there's a class going on, and now they are saying the name of Prophet Muhammad is mentioned, you are not supposed to make salawat while you are praying. Because while you are performing a prayer to Allah, your focus is only with Allah Rabbul Alam. Don't allow anything to come and interrupt you. Yeah? Yes, you can. Yeah, inshallah. Any other question from the sisters? Question from the sisters? I think your father is leaving. They're calling you. Slowly. Faddal, sister. Yeah, from the bottom you must press one. Press hard. Boleh. Yep, alhamdulillah.
Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Sheikh, I just want to ask, when you say that Adam was sent down, the word ihbitu,
ihbatullahu al-adam ilal ardihin.
So the word ihbitu, is it down or out? Because I went for other classes, they were saying it's not down, but it's out. Ihbitu meaning it's out. So is it out or down, actually?
Now, ihbatullah, if you look at the ayah, the meaning that was translated, yeah, is more on, because he was in paradise. Paradise is not down, is somewhere up. Ihbatullah Adam is just like when Allah said, وَإِذْقَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةَ إِنِّي جَائِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ. Yeah? That ayah, if you continue, later on, you have the word Ahbitullah. The proper translation by the companions of the Prophet is Allah send them down, from up to down. Some people will say, no, that also means from in to out. He was in paradise, and now Allah take him out from paradise. Yeah? So to us, we don't argue about these terms. Sometimes their words can have two meanings. You want to use that word, ihbatullah, getting out, because there are other words to use, khuruj. Ukhrijul Adam minal Jannah. But the word being used, ihbitullah. No problem. If somebody want to argue with just the what you call the meaning literally, we have no argument. Okay? Alhamdulillah. Any other question? Last question from the brothers? No. Last question from the, yes, one. Pass the mic, please. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
As you said, the India. So India is actually a country, the current one country. Before it was called Hindustan, like the few countries if we combine. If you go the many hundred years ago, it was called Inglistan. So this way, like this region has been changed into a different names. Okay. And second, my question is a little bit like, just want to know the views. The Arabic culture is really imposed on a few of the Islamic countries. Like, for example, if I take the example of the Malaysia. So the Arabic culture, if I see here, people here like, They take the Arabic culture or their tradition or their wearing style, they take it very seriously. So my question is, the Prophet Muhammad he came to the Saudi Arabia, or the current one, Saudi Arabia. He sent there to teach the people how to live. He went there to command what the God is saying, what He is commanding there. So He was there to teach them. Mm-hmm. But it's still like, I have many friends from Arab countries. So I don't see these kind of things that our beloved prophet, he used to teach them there. It's still like the Arab were like the worst at that period. Then the messengers came to guide them. Still, I see the Arabs are the same. So how do you see this thing?
If I'm not wrong, based on what you are trying to share with us about names of the countries, the real name only Allah knows. Of course, from time to time, who are in power, they will give a new name. It's just like now, suddenly, Sri Lanka is out from India, and now Pakistan, but the real name only Allah knows. But the hadith that I was quoting is Hind. And Hind, you translate literally, is India.
Yeah? No, Hind is actually Hindustan.
Never mind. I mean, that's why I'm saying, when we want to go very deep in words, yeah, everybody can interpret in their way. We have no issue. But we are just mentioning the name. Hind, you may say Hindustan, you can say anything, but now come back to the second thing about the Prophet was sent in the Arab world, the Arab among the Arabs. He is not there to change their dress, no. To change their culture, no. He is there to change their belief. Those who have been believing so many gods, and he is now sent by Allah to remind them to worship the only true God, Allah Rabbul Alameen, and also to discipline them, to make them good people, so that they love each other, respect each other, they honor the right of the woman, and so on, because you have a very different culture at that time, where the rich will oppress the poor, where the powerful will try to exploit the weak, and so on. It's very normal. But now Islam is here to make them change, to make sure that they become a better people. Alhamdulillah, from darkness to light. Yeah, from uncivilized to become a very civilized nation. But must we behave like an Arab to be a good Muslim? Must we dress and eat like an Arab to be a good Muslim? No. You cannot say, oh, because Prophet is an Arab, he wear jubba, of course. Then I also want to wear jubba, no problem, as long as it covers your aura. What the Prophet was sent is to make sure that human dress like human and behave like human, talk like whom? Like woman. That's why they said, talk the talk and walk the walk. You know? That is what we want. So about the culture, any kind of tradition that do not contradict the Islamic principle, like Chinese also believe in honesty is the best policy. You must be kind, be loving. Everybody who have all this, you can continue. No problem. You don't have to change your look.
Okay, I agree with. But again, like we see in my country, I'm from Pakistan. So we have a like, some of the people, the Islamic, the religious more like who more focus on the Arabs.
The dressing?
Not the dressing, their thoughts.
Their thoughts.
What the elite Arab or the rulers of the Arab countries, they say, or sometimes they do the investment, like they build the mosque or build the Islamic organizations to teach the people. So actually they are misguided. They are like, they wash the mind of the people according to their own its strategies. So same thing I see here. Actually, I don't like see any Islamic organization in Malaysia operated by the Arab countries, but still I see like the normal people, they take these kind of things very seriously. If the Saudi Arabia or the people from the Saudi Arabia, the scholars, they come and whatever they say, people really take it very serious. They don't see like either is it right or wrong. I have seen many people, the scholars, who come from the Arab countries, like, apparently they say, okay, yeah, this is nice, this is, sometimes like the if somebody is asking a question, so they answer not in a very a nice way. Means like here, like one question was asked, so the answer was like you don't do the respect of the people, just aggressively or rudely just answer them. So here I'm talking about the here in the last few classes. So I feel like this should actually not be happen, because Islam or all the religions, they teach a few common things. This is what the peace, love and humanity. Then comes the worship of the God. So if you do not have a peace, you do not have a humanity, you do not respect the people, then I think that any religion is not completed.
Alhamdulillah, thank you. That, are you saying that it happened in this place?
It actually happened many times, many places. Okay. Not here, in many places.
No, I'm talking about this place. Have you experienced any of the scholars here talk about that?
Actually, I have. I like to know and to watch or listen the historical things and about the religion.
No, please answer my question.
Yeah, this is what I'm coming. So I mostly go to the YouTube and listen the scholars. So sometimes I find those scholars.
Try to be brief. I'm just asking
you. Yes, I find those scholars sometimes here, sometimes somewhere else. So this is what I mean.
Next time, if you encounter this kind of experience, you are highly recommended to remind or reconfirm with the scholar. You understand what I'm saying? If say I'm addressing you today, and I did say something that you feel that is not correct, that I'm representing the Arab's vision or the Arab's version of Islam, then you can remind. You understand that? If you experience that, anywhere you go, some scholars say, you know, this Arab scholar, we are not talking about, we are talking about Islam. Islam is for everybody, it's only belong to the Arabs. It's true what you say. So, but I'm just saying, the best thing for you to do in the future, when there is a person talking to you about Islam, or in a class, and they use that, refer to Arabs, and then you can remind them. You understand that? So far, did I use that kind of approach? Yeah, you were not there. You were not here at that time, you mean? Alhamdulillah. Yeah. So may Allah make it easy. But always be careful, brothers. We are students of knowledge. When a scholar says something, it may go against what we feel. But don't jump the gun. Don't pass any judgment. You must be fair to yourself and fair to him. A scholar is a human. He is not perfect. He may, the slip of tongue, say something, but he may mean differently. So if you know that what he say is not really true, it's wrong to refer to, like, you want to talk about Islam according to the Arab style of Islam, no. Then you have the right to remind him, inshallah. Yeah? And you must have a lot of patience when doing all this kind of thing. No problem. Yeah? But may Allah bless us, may Allah guide us again, inshallah, sisters and brother. And hope to see you all again. And when you know we have a lot of activities, try to participate in our activities, because by participating, you will get to know better about what Allah and the Prophet want us to do. Not just giving you knowledge, but also show you how to act upon the knowledge. May Allah guide us, may Allah bless us, may Allah forgive all our shortcomings. Amin ya Rabbil Alamin. Wa billahi tawfiqi wal aqli da'wana walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaih. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.